Ah, you're in the right place. I got to tell you, so many reasons to have bad news, but not in this place. Whenever Jesus is the Lord of our life, we have something good to share. And he has done so many great and wonderful works in our life. We've been in a series for a few weeks now called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, which is focusing in not just on the third person of the Godhead, but specifically places in the Bible that talks about his activity. And so sometimes I have gone through a series and done on the person of the Holy Spirit or what the Holy Spirit is. And there's some of that today, but I've been focusing on times when either the Lord or someone else just sat down and began to teach on the things that the Holy Spirit does. And sometimes people make the concept or the topic of the Holy Spirit so spiritual or so ephemeral that it really doesn't make a practical difference in my life. And I believe that a relationship with the Holy Spirit is one of the most practical things you can have, that he is to affect every part of our life. And when Jesus explained how he was doing the things that he did and where he was getting the wonderful teachings, without exception, he always gave glory back to the Lord. And he says, it's because my Father has given me every word that I'm saying. I don't know about you, but I would love that kind of relationship with a Heavenly Father. And so Jesus in John chapter 16, if you have a Bible, you can turn there, but I'll put it up on the screen. My translation is just a little bit different, but not too far off. It says this, Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, which is just another title of the Holy Spirit, this is not a different spirit, but he says, when he, the Spirit of Truth comes, he will lead you in the way of all truth. For he will not speak from himself, but will only speak what he hears and proclaim to you things to come. I love those phrases. And so, you know, let me just continue read on, and then I'll tell you what I was going to say. But he says this, and he will glorify me. So there's at least three things he said. He will lead you, he will speak to you, and now he will glorify Jesus in your life. For he will receive from what is mine and proclaim it to you. All things the Father has are mine. This is why I said that he will take from what is mine and proclaim it to you. John is, of the four Gospels, is the one that speaks with the most philosophical terms about the Holy Spirit and who he is. And by philosophy, I just meant you can even see the word patterns and the formulas that are repeated as Jesus teaches. So many of our our pivotal explanations of the Holy Spirit and who he's going to be in our life come from the end of the Gospel of John, and just several places in and around, and I'm going to come back on a few of the other ones, but where he just talks in philosophical terms explaining this. When Luke talks about the Holy Spirit, he's a little bit more analytical and black and white. Like Luke will say things like, then the Holy Spirit fell on them, and there was a dove, or there was fire. And for Luke, when he describes the Holy Spirit, it seems almost more like he's this metaphysical entity, like he's an energy or something like that. And John, it's so much more kind of relational. So which is correct? Neither one of those are different. Some people will either have a problem with the Bible or get confused by it when they'll read different places that seem to talk about things in different ways, as if it's contradicting. And I said, no, it's not. Those are just different explanation. What's changed is not the Holy Spirit. Oh man, I want to use some big words right now, but I'm going to try not to. Okay, I will. Permission to use two nerdy words. It's not his ontology, which means what he actually is, but it's the theology, which means what we say about him. So what's different in those two passages is not that the Holy Spirit changed or that he's a different Holy Spirit. He's the same Holy Spirit when he was brooding over the waters of creation, as he was in the day of Acts, in the day of Pentecost in Acts, as he is today. Same, he hasn't changed. But what's changed over the years is how we talk about it. I thought of an illustration on the way here. How many of you appreciate the landscaping that's out there in front of the church? That was entirely put in by volunteers and is still maintained by volunteers. Pastor Tim has a great crew that are working on it, and it just makes me happy every time I come to church, doesn't it you? So just make sure you appreciate. Go ask Pastor Tim who's doing it, and I just love on them. And if you've got a green thumb and like to do that kind of stuff, just volunteer. But if I was to ask you, so how many saw it on the way in? Did you see the front yard? All right. How would you describe it? Would you describe it? Can you see it right now? You can't see it. It's out there. Well, unless you're in the line of a window. You can't see it right now. Can you? But can you kind of see it in your mind? What do you remember about it? Wish I could hand around a microphone right now and let five or six of you different say. What? It's calming and inviting. Who would agree with that? What else would you say about it? It's clean. There's a vine maple. The grass is green. It looks very springy right now. All right. I could have 100 of you share. You would all tell me 100 different things. Are you talking about a different yard? And you know, no matter how many different explanations, nothing has changed about the yard. It's the same thing. Are you with me? And so when we come to one passage and it talks about the Holy Spirit like this and another that talks about it like this, it's not the Holy Spirit that's changing. It's just that we talk about it in a different way. All right, maybe that helped you or maybe it didn't. But John is one of those that talks about the Holy Spirit as very mingled. Did you notice he mentioned himself and the Father and the Holy Spirit? Or there's the Trinity, right? And in some places in the Bible, it explains the relationship of the Father and the Son as if they're completely two different things. In other passages, it's like they're one and the same thing. But what we're doing is we're describing a mystery that we can't see with our own eyes. And so I think more words is better than less words. But in this passage in John, you'll see how it says that the Holy Spirit comes both from the Father and he says, and then he takes from what is mine and he gives it to you. I know in church history, the reason the Greek Orthodox broke off from the Catholics is over one little word, filioque, which in Latin means and of the Son. So in the creeds, they wrote that the Holy Spirit emanates from the Father, and the Catholics added, and the Son. And the entire Greek Orthodox Church split off because of that one word. Friends, I'm just here to tell you, you might get the words wrong or you might get the words right, but I'm not here to argue about theology today. I just want to talk about one of my best friends in the whole world, and he's the Holy Spirit. He's been with me since I was a kid. He has helped me through good times and bad times. And you can have a daily relationship with him. You say, well, don't I have a relationship with Jesus? And I said, yeah, okay. It's just two different ways to talk about God in my life. And so sometimes he calls it the Spirit of God. Sometimes he calls it even the Spirit of Christ. Because all of those are expressions of God in our life. And he says a couple of things about him. So I just want to go back to the words of Jesus today. And I'm sorry if my technical description doesn't help you. Just welcome to my brain. I have to kind of figure out where I am before I talk about something. And it says that the first thing is, he will lead you in the way of all truth. He will lead you in the way. There's one verb, hodogeo. Hodos means the road. And so what he's going to do is he's going to lead us down the right road. How many would rather go down the road that he has for us than your road? So let me ask you this. Are we going to be led by ourselves or be led by the Holy Spirit? Which is it? I'm going to tell you the difference. The end of both paths is not the same. The end of a life that's led by our own natural instincts and our own ways. How many know the Old Testament says his ways are higher than our ways? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts? And one of the things that a relationship with the Holy Spirit does is it helps us to stop and to ask, Lord, which way am I supposed to go? Which direction do I need to go? What is it that I need to do next? In Isaiah 30, 21, Isaiah was an Old Testament prophet. He prophesied in verse 30 about a day when Israel was going to see a restoration of their prophets, of their prophetic gift in their midst. And he said, and whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. I have to say it King James's because we leave out the you, walk ye in it. This is the way. No, the Mandalorian didn't make that up. He stole it from Isaiah. But this is the way. This is the way that we walk. This is the way that we're to go. And so let me ask you this. Whose voice is the most important voice in your life? Whose voice is it that is leading you and guiding you? Do you rely more on your own natural instincts? Or do you stop and say, Holy Spirit, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? My father was a missionary, and he was very much, even from a young age, at 18, he felt like the Lord told him to go to Nigeria, and so he got on a steamship. He wasn't traveling by plane back in those days. At 18, and became a missionary. And so I was raised by a crazy person. You know, missionaries, most people read that verse that says, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Most people take that metaphorically. Missionaries take it literally. They literally sell everything and they go to some foreign place. Then he came home, married my mom. She was 18 and they went back and had 3 kids. But when I started doing missions trips, he would tell me all the time. I said, Dad, I'm thinking about going this or there. What do you think? Is this a good idea? And he said, Mike, it doesn't matter what I say. He would always say this to me, even when I was a kid. He goes, the most important thing is, what is the Holy Spirit telling you to do? Because I'm going to tell you this. And here was this warning. If the Holy Spirit isn't telling you to go, don't go. And as if he knew that that was a formula for bad things happening. And if the Holy Spirit tells you to go, you can go and not be afraid. But you need to be led of the Lord. Oh, my goodness. That never left me. If somebody like that tells you that and you know what their history was, it tends to make you pay attention. So whose voice is it that is the loudest in your ear? You know, one of the things that's happened even in my lifetime is the news used to be something that came on after dinner and then it was over. And now the news never ends. Never. 24/7. Not only 24/7, but you've got your choice of about 30 different stations that you can watch 24/7. If you want to, and if you're not careful, and if you don't have the self-control over your remote control, you can just leave it on a loop. Listen to those same 5 talking points all 24 hours. How many know they get a little bit repetitive? So, you know, I think I've heard them say this over and over and over again. And I want to just stop and ask permission to move from preaching to meddling. Only 5 people kind of giggled and said, well, I'm going to anyway, right? Listen, don't get mad at me. You came here. I didn't come to your living room and start preaching at you, did I? You came here. So this is just a suggestion for someone that occasionally can watch too much news. And but who is the number one voice in your head? If you're not careful, you can have that same news channel insert your favorite flavor of hateful news right here. You can have your favorite news channel playing 24/7. And when's the last time you gave the Holy Spirit to give a word in edgewise? So let me ask you this. Who gets the vast majority of your attention? Does Jesus or does insert your favorite news broadcaster? Whose voice gets to speak to you more? What is the amount of time you spend listening to that voice? What's the amount of time you spend listening to the Lord's? Okay, I'm done messing with you. And by the way, I always have 3 fingers pointed back at me too, because I'm thinking about this too. That's a great question. How much time does Jesus get with me? And how does that compare to what I watch on TV? The Holy Spirit, if we allow him to, he can lead us not just when we're in church, not just when we're praying, but he can lead us all throughout the day. I believe communing and listening to the Lord isn't something I just do every morning. It's something I do all day long. I'm always listening. You know, it's amazing, and we'll get to it, but there are other places in the Bible where the book of Acts said, and then Jesus was led into the wilderness, and then, you know, the Apostle Paul was led over here, and then the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go over here. And I'm thinking, where is he getting all this stuff? Is the Holy Spirit texting him? Don't go there, don't go there. And I don't think that's it at all. It's about having a relationship with the Lord that's all day long. That I can be listening to him and checking in with him and asking his heart, Lord, what is your heart about this? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Wow. So I can't know your thoughts. I can't know this. Only your spirit inside of you knows your thoughts. And if I want to know the thoughts of God, that means I have to spend time with his spirit. because His Spirit will reveal to me the mind of the Lord. Are you with me? You know, the sticking on that topic, I was over at my dad's house many years back, and he took me out to the garage where he had his library, and he handed me a little book. And I don't remember when he said somebody first gave it to him, but it was written in 1925. And it's from an old Methodist missionary named E. Stanley Jones. I don't even ever heard of him. Just a little book. He is actually, back in the day, he was very well known. He wrote several books. But he was a young missionary in India. And wise as a young man, spent several years there ministering first of all to the poor people, and then got invited to some of the upper class of India. And he was asking, one of the upper class of India said, "Why don't you come and spread the gospel of Jesus to our class?" And he goes, "Well, I just always assumed I wasn't wanted." And the response of this man was, "It's not that you're not wanted, as long as you come in the right way." And so then he said he spent the rest of his life trying to figure out what is the right way. What is it? And one of his great revelations is that the more he just listened, and the more he listened to these people that were of Indian heritage, but were open to the message of Jesus, especially. And so he didn't focus just on, he didn't try to come and import Western Christianity, like the whole institution of how we do church and how we're structured and stuff like that. What he brought into Indian culture was Jesus, the person of Jesus, the words of Jesus. In many cases, he just determined not to say anything but the words of Jesus. And he found that doors were open. He became a close personal friend with Gandhi. And actually, after Gandhi died, wrote a biography of him. And that biography was, according to Martin Luther King, one of the things that was the most influential of convincing Martin Luther King that when he protested civil rights, that he should do it nonviolently. E. Stanley Jones, young missionary. In 25, he came home and he wrote this book that my dad gave me called The Christ of the Indian Road. And I just started to reread it again. You can find it online. I think it's on Kindle for $9.99. But it just is interesting. Figuring out how to unpack what is it that we have to offer. Are we to go out and to evangelize people with Western Christianity, or to share Jesus with people? And it's amazing how many more doors open up if we just share Jesus. The doors are opening back up to us now in the jail system. And it had been closed for a long time, and Pastor Nadine and several others were trying to get in, and finally there was a sheriff that opened up the doors, and we'd go in and do Bible studies with guys and eventually women, even though that took some longer. And then it shut down for a season. I forgot whether it was COVID or we had a change in personnel, and just now again it's opening back up. But you know, one of the things that the people that go in there, I love it, because they don't go in there to bring church. They go in there to bring Jesus. And there's a big difference. You know, it's not just about converting people to an organization. It's about sharing the genuineness of a relationship with the Lord. E. Stanley Jones said it like this. He said, "I'm convinced that the only kind of a world worth having is a world patterned after the mind and the spirit of Jesus. If the Holy Spirit can take over the subconscious with our consent and cooperation, then we have almighty power working at the basis of our lives, and then we can do anything we ought to, go anywhere we ought to, and be anything we ought to." Powerful. And the Holy Spirit does is He leads us and guides us in His ways. And His ways open doors. They don't shut them down. He ended up actually, later on in his life, he was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize and was a confidant to President Roosevelt in trying to figure out how to avoid World War I. But friends, God will open the doors for you if you consider it not your job to bring Christianity into some environment, to just bring Jesus. Just bring Him. Bring His words. Bring His love. And because the world really does need Jesus in their life. I'll keep preaching it till I hear an amen. How many believe that the world still does need Jesus? And so the second thing is, he says, he will not speak. Listen, it's so powerful, because Jesus said it about himself too. He goes, I'm not speaking my own words. I'm speaking what the Father tells me. And then he says the Holy Spirit too. He doesn't speak his own words. He speaks only what I give him from the Father. And so don't focus so much on the whole relationship of the Trinity. But if we're going to have a productive life, it's got to be, it's not going to be by our words. It's going to be by his words. If the world is going to be saved, it's not our words that they need to hear. It's his words. Anybody say amen? They need to hear the words of the Lord. And so we stop and we ask, Lord, what would you say if you were in this position? Jesus said in John chapter 12, He said in John chapter 12, would you read it with me? He says, for I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his commands lead to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Oh man, listen to that. I don't have any tattoos, but that would be a good one to tattoo someplace. Lord, help me never to say anything that you're not saying. I just want to say what he tells me to say. Man, what an amazing thing. You think that would make a difference in your life? If the only words that we spoke to people or about people were words that the Lord would speak about them? Oh, my goodness. Some kids used to wear the bands around their wrist. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? It's a great way to live. I don't need a rubber band to remind me to do it, but it's a great way to live. You know, when I stand up here and give the word, if you only knew how much time I spend just on my face and praying and asking and begging the Lord, sometimes it's hard. You know, writing a sermon, it's like writing a new song every week. You know, I've written a couple songs way back and they weren't good. They weren't very good. But it's like, it's a work of creativity. And sometimes I'll just sit there, stare at a blank screen. And I said, Lord, I got nothing. Every week, I ran out of my own words many decades ago. But I asked the Lord every week. I said, Lord, just give me words to say to them that they need to hear. Speak to us, because I don't want it to be my words. You know, it doesn't matter to me if you leave this place and are impressed by me. I don't care. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. And you can ask Molly to see if it's true, but there are a lot of Sundays she's got to convince me to get out of bed. She's got to say, Mike, you got to get up. I said, you go preach it. I said, no, you're preaching it. I said, all right, I will. I just am nervous because I said, Lord, I don't have anything. But he just says, Lord, I've got something to give to you, Mike. Just be faithful, and he'll give you the words. Mitch Hedberg said about comedy, which is similar to preaching. He said, you can't be like pancakes. All exciting at first, but then by the time you're done, you're sick of them. He said, I don't want my sermons to be like pancakes. I want the Lord to say something true to us every week. And part of how that happens is, friends, if you want the Lord to speak through us, you can't talk all the time. So, you ever seen somebody operate a fire hose? You know what's fascinating to me about fire hoses? Did you know fire hoses use the same exact pressure as you get at your house? Say, how can that be, man? That would peel my skin off if I took a shower with that. It's the same pressure, only you're taking a massive amount of volume and then at the end, squeeze it down into a very small nozzle. That's where the power comes from. I wonder if our words would pack more weight if it wasn't so much about the volume, but if we could just say less and be more important when we say it. Anybody with me? I believe that God has for every one of his sons and daughters. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit and your sons and daughters will prophesy. And so let me ask you this. What would the Spirit say if he was in your shoes? You're praying and asking the Lord for direction or for something to say or for a way to respond or respond to a problem or something that's happened in the workplace or a way to address it. You say, Lord, I've been thinking and thinking and thinking about how I should say this. But when's the last time you said, Lord, I pray that you would just give me the words? It's amazing. In Mark chapter 13, Jesus told us, his disciples, to do the same thing that he had been doing. Read it with me, would you? He said, whenever you're arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. I love that. Oh, man, old Pentecostal missionaries love that phrase. You know, Dad was so proud if he would come to preach at our church sometimes and just throw his notes away because the Lord gave him another word. I love that. I said, Dad, that's easy for you because you've memorized the Bible. I have to study. But still, everywhere we go, every new season, ask the Lord to give you what to say. Ask the Lord about it because he really can give you words. I tried to think of one example that's a practical way, and I have so many, just about anything significant that's ever happened in my life or anything I've ever been given the right thing at the right time to say has been the Holy Spirit just giving me the words. I know it because it was a lot smarter than I am. And one time it was just right across the street at DHS, and we had been going through the process of adopting Sam, and we put our name in, and they called us back, and they said, Mike and Molly, we're really sorry, because we know how much you do at DHS. You know, they use our children's classrooms for their visitations, and we house their appreciation dinners, all sorts of stuff. And they said, we would love to put your name, but it's just too late. We have a process. The process is already underway, and it's about ready to go to committee. And it's just, there's not enough time for you guys to go through that process and to get your names in. I said, would you at least just talk with us? And they said, well, okay, because it's you, we'll sit and talk with you. But we got to tell you right now, it would take like a move from the governor, the head of DHS, to change all the rules. So, but yeah, we'll sit and listen. And we went over there in the office, and I didn't take any notes. We just talked. We talked about this little boy and how he'd been a part of our family already, how we'd been to every one of his birthdays, and just how we'd been praying for him, and just all these things. I can't even share with you everything that I just shared, but as we begin to tell the stories and how much we love this little boy, they were all just crying. And I just said, and they said the same thing at the end. They said, well, thanks for the story. And they said, listen, if it was up to any of us, we'd drive him over to your house right now. But we have to go through the system. And so it's probably not going to happen, but thank you for sharing. And then just a couple of weeks later, I was out there in that parking lot with that giant rock, out there with the guy sandblasting those words into it. And as we were out there, the lady from DHS came walking up to me and she said, man, you must know somebody in high places. She wasn't talking about in the government. She was talking about up there in heaven. She goes, you must really know somebody because we presented the case down there and the head of DHS has decided to let you guys go to committee for the son. He became our son. I told you before, he wasn't an accident. But it wasn't just us working hard or us advocating hard. I believe the Holy Spirit gave us words to say. And he can with you too. Whatever the situation is, big or small, he can give you the words to say. But it takes what Brother Jones that I was referring to, what he would talk about it is allowing the Holy Spirit to permeate your subconscious, he said. In other words, this isn't just something that you put on every once in a while. Allow his way of thinking to become your thinking. Allow his heart to become your heart. And then he says, then because sometimes when you need his help, you don't have a lot of preparation. I like what Jesus said, don't worry beforehand. You know, because sometimes when you need to give that word, you only have a fraction of a second. And you just got to respond. And if you say, wait, let me go away and pray about it for a couple hours, you don't have that time. Sometimes it's just like that. But you'll be ready if you've been listening to his voice, if you've been spending time with him, spending time listening to his word. Anybody with me? And then he says, and he will glorify me because he'll take from what's mine and give it to you. And so that last part, he said, the Holy Spirit's role, not only is he leading us in the way and speaking the words of the Father, but then the last part is about glorifying Jesus. And if you're led by the Holy Spirit, sooner or later your life is going to be glorifying Jesus. Because it's not about us getting the glory at the end of the day. It's us glorifying him. bringing glory to Him. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, how much we can accomplish in life if we don't need to get the glory? Man, if you're chasing after the credit, we're going to be fighting. I'm going to be fighting the credit. You're going to be fighting the credit. One of the things I said at a new pastor's conference, I was at a round table, and one of the questions was, what's one of the little things that hasn't been told to any of us? And I just said, this is easy. If you're going to make it long in ministry, I said, don't live your life trying to get approval from your peers. Do not chase after the idol of having your peers think well of you. And I said, why? Because they're insecure just like you are. And if you end up doing really good, they're going to be jealous of you, not on purpose, but just because they're humans. And if you do less than them, then they're going to look down on you. It's just it's a pig in a poke. It's a red herring. You're going to be chasing down something that you will never get. Oh, I'm not talking about when they're full of the Holy Spirit. I'm just talking about the 90% of the other time, you know, when they're just human beings. You can't live for other people's approval. You can't be chasing after that. If you need to get your glory here on earth, man, friends, you're going to be going down the wrong path all the time. But if we can just be empty of it, oh, man, friends, one of the things that I used to say is it's really hard to be full of the Holy Spirit when you're still so full of yourself. If you can get over yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you, that's when great things begin to happen. When you don't need to get a plaque at the end of it, when you don't need to get recognition, when you don't need to get honored by it. But just like Jesus said, at the end of the day, you just sit down and you say, I'm just an unworthy servant. I've only done my duty. That's what Jesus told his disciples to say. At the end of the day, we all just sleep in the servants' quarters. All of us. Anybody with me? And friends, it's so liberating. When you get to that point where it doesn't need to be about you anymore, the Holy Spirit, that's when He takes over. That's when He begins to do great things. John chapter 7 says, whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth, and there is nothing false about him. The truest version of ourselves, friends, is when we're just giving glory back to the Lord. You say, well, what is it there in there for me? Friends, I got to tell you, no matter how much I give to the Lord, He always gives me back more. I always get more out of it. You realize that? But when you give it to Him first, it's so liberating. Because now there's nothing the enemy can take away from me. He can't take away what the Holy Spirit has given. And so I'm thinking once again about doing everything for God's glory and not living for glory. Well, I can't pass it up without showing you a clip from the movie Glory. How many have ever seen this movie? One of the great Civil War movies ever made. I watched it just about a year ago and dawned on me, I haven't watched this recently enough. I should watch it once a year because it's powerful. It's based on a true story. I actually watched it with two of my teenagers. We watched the television show about the Civil War and about slavery, and one of my boys is African American, and his eyes got really big. There was this one scene when they passed through, and there were some slaves, you know, that had just arrived in the port, and they were in cages. He looked at me and said, "They were in cages?" And, you know, he's just a young teenager. You know, they've learned a little bit in school, but they haven't learned everything. And we started talking about it, and I said, "Haven't you ever seen the movie Glory?" And they said, "No." It was like 10 o'clock at night. But I called an audible, and we stayed up late and watched Glory together. And it's just an amazing, it's based on the true story of the 54th Massachusetts Infantry Regiment, which was one of the first African-American regiments that fought in the Civil War. And they were led by a man named Colonel Robert Gould Shaw. And so a lot of the plot is based on the letters that he would write home to his parents, actual letters, also based on a 1973 book by Lincoln Kirsten named Lay This Laurel, which is about laying down those laurel wreaths, and it follows their beginning and up until, and it culminates at the second battle for Fort Wagner, which was fought on July 18th, 1863, and one of my favorite scenes about it is just all of these men, they know they're going to go charging up a beach against an entrenched fort with heavy cannons and spikes and defenses all around it. And their job is just to take over that fort because it's the head of Port Charleston. So it's very strategic. And they looked around, and none of the other regiments wanted to do it because they knew it was a suicide mission. And the 54th said, "We'll go. We'll go." And so this scene is just about them having a little church service the night before to give each other courage. Watch this for a minute.
No sleep that night. Roll the sun, ship and ham. Tell me about God's master plan. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, Lord,
tomorrow, we go into battle.
All right.
So, Lordy, let me fight with the rifle in one hand and good book in the other.
Yeah.
That if I should die at the muzzle of the rifle, die on water or on land, I may know that you... Blessed Jesus Almighty are with me.
We see
you.
And I have no fear. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord.
Lord. We stand before you this evening to say thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you, Father, for your grace and your many blessings.
Yes, sir.
Now, I run off and left all my youngins and my kinfolk in bondage. So I'm standing here this evening, Heavenly Father, to ask your blessings on all of us.
Talk to him, sir.
Amen.
So that... if tomorrow is our great getting up morning, if tomorrow we have to meet the judgment day, Heavenly Father, we want you to let our folks know that we died facing the enemy. We want them to know that we went down standing up amongst those that are fighting against our oppression. We want them to know, Heavenly Father, that we died for freedom.
Amen.
We ask these blessings in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord.
Wow. That inspires me every time. I watched that whole scene and I said, you know, those guys knew where they were going. That next day, they went up and they charged and they fought until night and... something like 250 of them lost their life on the battlefield, which is about 40% of their regiment. And they knew it, including the colonel that led the charge. And it's a famous battle, but that one battle, not only did they take over the fort, but that became a great inspiration for African Americans across the country to sign up to help fight. And it's because of that that slavery was ended. Friends, I gotta tell you, I don't know what battle you got to face tomorrow. I don't know what you're headed into. You have your battles, I have mine. They're different. We all have something. Some of them are bigger than others. But I know this, that whatever battle I got to face tomorrow, I want the Lord to be on my side. I want Him to be in my heart. I want Him to give me the word. I don't want it to be my words. I want it to be His. Don't want to do it my way. I want to do it His. And at the end of the day, it's not going to be my glory. It's going to be His glory. He's going to get all the credit. Amen? At the end of it all, we can take all of our glories and we can lay them down at the feet of Jesus. This last passage is from the book of Revelation. It's at the end when John has been receiving these great revelations about the end and about all these events that are going to take place. And the angel that has been sharing them with him, he's so amazed that he bows down before this angel. Do you remember this scene? This angel is a messenger, and he bows down before this angel and begins to worship him because he's in awe. And the Bible says, it says, and I fell before his feet to worship him, but he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I love that phrase. You know what the spirit of prophecy is? Testifying about Jesus, giving him the glory. Even that angel who was a mighty being said, don't worship me. I don't get the glory. I'm just a servant in the house, just like you are, and just like all of the brothers and sisters that hold the testimony of Jesus. Who does that describe in this place? Anybody? At the end of the day, we all sleep in the servants' quarters. Corrie Ten Boom was a Holocaust survivor and became a very famous preacher. She was very well known, very gifted, very eloquent evangelist. She would travel all over the world and share about her survival and the history of her family and losing her sister in a prison camp. And at the end of the day, people would give her all sorts of accolades and all sorts of appreciation and shower her with compliments and all these things. And she says, you know, the only way I know how to deal with all of that, she goes, it's almost like at the end of a parade where people just throw roses. And they're just throwing me roses. And I just go down and I scoop them all up. I collect them all up. All of those compliments, all of those rewards, all of those honors. I just take them, and at the end of the day, I lay them all at Jesus' feet. Because it's only because of him that I've won any victory in my life. It's only because of him. You can take all of those things and just say, Lord, thank you for who you are in my life. You say amen? Would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I just thank you. Lord, in every season of our lives, you've been there. You've been our Lord. You've been our guide. You've been our teacher. Lord, you've been the glory in our hearts. And today, Lord, I just pray that you would lead us and guide us. I don't want to go my way. We want to go your way. We don't want to speak our words. We want to speak yours. Lord, we want to give you all the glory at the end of the day. And we thank you, Lord, for all the blessings in our life. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with us. Whatever we've got to face tomorrow, we need your Holy Spirit. We need him every day, and every moment of every day. And friends, while nobody's looking around, just for a moment of privacy, if you're here in this place and you'd like to invite Jesus into your life, maybe you've never really invited him like that. You've been to church once in a while, but does he really fill up every day? Is he with you when you're at church, or does he go with you when you leave this place? You know, you can have a relationship with him where he goes with you everywhere you go. If you want to invite him into your life like that, Lord, be my Lord and my Savior. Lead me and guide me each and every day. Well, nobody's looking around. If that's you, would you just look up at me for a moment? Is there anybody like that today? Thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just give you the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Well, friends, if you're able to, would you just stand to your feet and grab somebody's hand next to you, and can we pray together? Let's pray, can we? Lord Jesus, say this with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me and guide me. Speak through me, Lord, and I'll give you all the glory. Everything that I am and everything that I have is on the altar before you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering. Would you just praise him? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love all of you so much. Have a wonderful day. Go in the grace of the Lord.